from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Ray. In today's edition, we will present some segments for you, starting from news, news across the country, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listeners, we begin with the news, so stay with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Government readies $5.5 million to compensate landowners in Nusantara. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, plus Cadet SAIL 8, expected to facilitate Indonesian Navy cadets to broaden network. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry prepared a budget of $5.5 million to compensate people whose land parcels are affected by the development of the new capital city Nusantara East Kalimantan. In a statement received on Saturday, Minister Basuki Hadimulyono noted that the government had established an integrated team to distribute the compensation funds. Hadimulyono, also serving as Nusantara Authority acting head, remarked that Presidential Regulation No. 75 of 2024 concerning the acceleration of Nusantara's construction stipulates that those affected by the development can either opt for compensation or relocation. The Indonesian Navy planned to deploy a landing platform dock on Sunday to transport equipment required for the Independence Day flag raising ceremony to be held for the first time in the new capital city Nusantara. According to Military Naval Command Chief Vice Admiral Hudiarto Krisnohutomo, the landing platform dock would later be stationed in East Kalimantan Province to serve as temporary accommodation for personnel assigned to Nusantara. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, plus Cadet SAIL 8 is expected to serve as an activity that facilitates Indonesian Navy cadet to broaden their networks. Governor of the Indonesian Navy's Academy, Rear Admiral Supardi, stated this while greeting participants in Jakarta on Saturday. According to him, in the ASEAN plus Cadet SAIL 8, the cadets can establish a network with those coming from around the globe. Thus, once they are inaugurated as commissioned officers, they will have already forged a bond. Speaking at the Military Sea Lift Command Headquarters, Supardi noted that the ASEAN plus Cadet SAIL 8 brings together Navy cadets from Asia, Australia, America, and Europe. Weather modification has been conducted at the new capital Nusantara for the past 10 days to ensure construction work can be completed on target. National Disaster Mitigation Agency head Lieutenant General Suharyanto pointed out on Saturday the agency deployed a Cessna aircraft from Pranoto Samarinda Airport with 1 ton of sodium chloride NaCl or salt. The chemical compound was sown in rain cloud seeds to redistribute rainfall around the construction work area at Nusantara. The U.S. Embassy in Beirut has urged its citizens to leave Lebanon on any ticket available amid soaring tensions in the Middle East. As quoted by BBC.com, The advisory follows a similar warning from UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy, who said the regional situation could deteriorate rapidly. Iran has vowed severe retaliation against Israel, which it blames for the death of Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran on Wednesday. His assassination came hours after Israel killed Hezbollah commander Fuad Shukr in Beirut. It is feared that Lebanon-based Hezbollah, an Iran-backed group, could play a heavy role in any such retaliation, which in turn could spark a serious Israeli response. Ukraine's military says it attacked and destroyed a Russian submarine while it was anchored at a port in the occupied Crimean Peninsula. As reported by BBC.com on August the 3rd, the military statement conveyed that the Rostov-on-Don sank after it was struck in a missile attack on the port city of Sevastopol on Friday. It was reportedly one of the four submarines operated by Russia's Black Sea Fleet capable of launching caliber cruise missiles. The Russian Defense Ministry has not commented. A Myanmar ethnic minority armed group said on Saturday it had captured a regional military command after weeks of clashes in what would be a major blow to the junta. As quoted by CNA, Myanmar National Democratic Alliance Army fighters have fully captured the headquarters of the Northeast Military Command in Lashio in northern Shan State. Fighting has rocked Lashio, which a major trade highway to China. The junta spokesman could not be reached for comment. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on Working in Nusantara. President Joko Widodo proves fulfillment of Phase 1 development target. President Joko Widodo this week worked in the new capital Nusantara. The president, accompanied by First Lady Iriana, departed from Jakarta on Sunday and worked in Nusantara until Tuesday. After landing at Sultan Haji Muhammad Sulaiman Sepinggan International Airport, Balikpapan City, East Kalimantan Province, President and several officials rode motorbikes to review the progress of the construction of the Indonesian new capital city, Nusantara Toll Road. Accompanied by a number of art activists and influencers in the country, he admitted that he had ordered the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadimulyono, to immediately complete the construction of the toll road and to continue to prioritize greening around the toll road. The president then inaugurated the Pulau Batang Bridge, Penajam Pasir Utara Regency, East Kalimantan Province. The bridge, which was built since 2015, is one of the strategic projects to support connectivity between regions in East Kalimantan. In addition to connecting Balikpapan City with Penajam Pasir Utara Regency, the bridge will also reach South Kalimantan Province. On the second day, Monday, July the 29th, the president directly reviewed the presidential palace area, which construction is still ongoing, and started working there. President Joko Widodo met with the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, who is also the acting head of the Indonesian Capital Nusantara Authority, Basuki Hadimulyono, and staff at the Garuda Palace. In the meeting, the president emphasized the importance of the community participation in the arrangement of Nusantara. He also requested that investment in Nusantara be managed quickly and efficiently. On the third day, President Joko Widodo inspected the Nusantara five-star hotel and received a visit from the management of the East Kalimantan Chamber of Commerce and Industry and the management of the East Kalimantan Young Indonesian Entrepreneurs Association at the Garuda Palace. The meeting discussed several important issues related to the involvement of local entrepreneurs in Nusantara Development Project. President Joko Widodo supports increasing involvement of local entrepreneurs in the development of Nusantara. He emphasized the importance of their role, not only as subcontractors, but as major players in this project. After working in the office for 3 days, President Joko Widodo returned to Jakarta on Tuesday. The main expert of the presidential staff office, Ade Irfan Pulungan, said on Thursday that President Joko Widodo had fulfilled his promise to work in the Indonesian capital city Nusantara before Indonesia's 79th Independence Day on August the 17th. According to him, this also dispelled public doubts and proved the commitment that the target for achieving the first phase of Nusantara development was in accordance with the plan. He explained that President Joko Widodo's presence increased the trust of investors who had shown interest in investing in Nusantara, so they received a guarantee that the progress development could run according to plan. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll start today in history with August the 4th, 1949, the first Hatta cabinet ends. The first Hatta cabinet was the seventh cabinet formed by Indonesia on the orders of President Soekarno on January the 23rd, 1948, Muhammad Hatta became Prime Minister. Members of the first Hatta cabinet, including Agus Salim as Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Maramis as Minister of Finance, and Hamengkubuwono IX as Minister of Defense. When the second Dutch military aggression occurred, which began with an attack on the capital of Indonesia at that time, Yogyakarta, on December the 19, 1948, Soekarno, Muhammad Hatta, Syahrir, and several other figures were arrested. Then the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia was formed, led by Safruddin Prawira Negara in Sumatra. But the first Hatta cabinet was not dissolved. After the political leadership was effective again on July 13, 1949, the first Hatta cabinet continued its mandate until it was reshuffled on August the 4th. Moving on to August the 4th, 1992. The Indonesian contingent wins its first gold medal in the Summer Olympics. The Indonesian contingent won its first gold medal at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics in Spain. Susi Susanti won the women's singles badminton event and Alan Budikusuma won the men's singles badminton event. Susi Susanti, who was 22 years old at that time, managed to defeat South Korean player Bang So-hyun with a score 5-11, 11-5 and 11-3. An hour later, men's singles player Alan Budikusuma managed to present a gold medal in the final, which brought together two Indonesian representatives. Alan defeated Ardi Biwiranata in two straight sets, namely 15-12, 18-13. The red and white flag of Indonesia fluttered high to mark the achievement of the first gold medal by the Indonesian contingent throughout its participation in the Olympics since 1952 in Helsinki. I'll end today in history with August the 4th, 2007, the launch of the Phoenix spacecraft. Phoenix is unmanned spacecraft owned by the U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, launched to Mars in the Mars Scout program. Phoenix has a mission to search for an environment suitable for the life of microorganisms on Mars and to investigate the history of water on the planet. This spacecraft was launched on August the 4th, 2007 and landed on Mars on May the 25th, 2008. That was today in history.
Listener, in this week's Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listener wherever you are and who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharj in India. He was listening to our broadcast in German on July 14, 2024 through website voinews.id with CO444. Hello, sir. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to our German section. Please be patient to the reply. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. And thank you. Well, listener, wherever you are, here is a beautiful song just for you. And please enjoy the song.
Sama, tak seperti saat pertama. Aku bilang mungkin pikiranmu saja.
Kamu bilang ku tak peduli, tak seperti pertama kali. Aku bilang janganlah.
Dalam hatimu, oh kasih.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and also through our website and www.voinews.id. In today's topic, we will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on government discusses revitalization of stadiums and sport arenas. The Indonesian government encourages the existing sports facilities and infrastructure in the country to be utilized immediately by the community. So, in addition to having an impact on the growth of Indonesian sports achievements, it also adds economic value. Related to this, President Joko Widodo on Thursday at the Presidential Palace Jakarta held a meeting with a number of ministers to discuss the utilization of revitalization of sports facilities throughout Indonesia. Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryo Tejo, after the coordination meeting, emphasized that the main focus of the discussion and the topic between the relevant ministers was the utilization of revitalization of stadiums, sports arenas, and sports venues throughout Indonesia. Minister Dito Aryo Tejo said that the meeting also discussed plans to reorganize League 3 and 4 for football, as well as efforts to maximize the role of district and city governments and support the development of football and also sports branches in the national sports grand design. He revealed that since early 2023, there have been 22 stadiums revitalized by the central government with a capacity of over 25,000. Based on the coordination meeting, Minister Dito Aryo Tejo said President Joko Widodo wants the renovated stadiums to also be utilized as user clubs, and their management can be collaboration with the local government or the private sector. The government hopes that the utilization of sport facilities and sports venues that have been built by the central government can revive the sports industry so that it can be managed more dynamically and flexibly and maximize all existing facilities by the community and stakeholders. According to data from the Ministry of Youth and Sports, since 2023, there have been 23 stadiums that have been renovated. In addition, there are still districts and cities that do not have a sports center at all, even if there is, many are poorly maintained. In fact, the positive impact of sports facilities is very attractive for the economy, including increasing apparel sales, sports tourism, and match ticket sales. Based on the analysis of one of the developers of sports facilities, the presence of a quality venue can boost the economy and cultural activities of the community. Through a multifunctional stadium, the community not only can enjoy sports matches, but also art events, music concerts, and other entertainment activities. The presence of venue can have a high economic impact, including on improving the local economy. That was My Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to a letter from Marik Bequero in Uruguay. He was listening to Spanish programs on July 24th, 2024 with Sinpo 23121. In his email, Mr. Manrik said he has listened to VOI at 1700 UTC on the 4755 kHz frequency, with some interference at the time inaudible at the general level. After locating them on shortwave and not being able to listen to them, I went to your webpage. I found the topics covered in the broadcast very entertaining. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. My colleagues from the Spanish section will reply your emails immediately. Thank you so much and keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. And here is a beautiful song just for you.
Banyak yang ku lewati, banyak yang ku alami. Kenanganmu tersimpan di hati. ku harus pergi, walau ku harus berlari, kenanganmu terasa di hati. Saat kau menari dengan tawa, rasa terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini, dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu. Terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini, dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our website in www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is on Haji Mangkuk Cave in East Kalimantan. The various attractions offered by the Derawan Islands in East Kalimantan province are indeed tempting for visitors, Not only doing water activities such as diving and snorkeling, tourists who visit the Derawan Islands can also test their adrenaline and courage by visiting one of the caves located not far from Maratua Island, namely the Haji Mangku Cave located in the Payung Payung village. The name of the Haji Mangku Cave, located only a few dozen meters from the northern coast of Maratua Island, was first discovered by Haji Mangku. The location of this cave is in the middle of a forest surrounded by lush trees. Starting with light trekking through a small forest, visitors must then be extra careful in choosing their footing because some locations have sharp coral footing. Arriving at the location after about 10 minutes walking through shady trees, visitors will be greeted by the edge of the cave which forms a natural pool. To enter this brackish water cave, there are two ways, namely jumping directly from the top of the cave or entering from the mouth of the cave, which is half covered in water. The best time to visit the Haji Mangku Cave is during the day because at the time the sunlight will enter the cave and even penetrate to the inside of the cave. The appearance of the water will also look bluer when compared to coming in late afternoon when the sun is almost setting. This Haji Mangku Cave tourist spot is perfect for those who enjoy nature tourism that challenges their adrenaline. If you like snorkeling, you can explore the depths of this natural pool with the equipment that has been prepared. If you want to jump from the cliffs around the pool, you can also do it from a height of 4 meters. To maximize your trip, you should wear non-slip and comfortable footwear. Leave in the morning so that you don't arrive at the location too late. Bring enough food and drinks for supplies, and most importantly, ask a local guide who can guide you during the trip. That was today's Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I will reply to an email from Reginaldo Anunja Chao in Brazil. He was listening to English programs on VOI through frequency 4755 kHz on July 18, 2024, with the SINPO 33333. Hello, sir. Thank you for listening to our broadcast. I'm glad because our broadcast can be heard clearly in your country. As an appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song just for you. And listener, wherever you are, as information, you can access our broadcast Voice of Indonesia through 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. And you can watch and listen through our broadcast in our online streaming in voinews.id. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send them to voilistener@gmail.com. Again, voilistener@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Voi Listener.
Cepat berlalu. Kini aku bebas untuk jalani hidup.
You have just listened to the third song. For the next segment, we will present to you Miscellany.
Miscellany today is featuring Watri application from the Institute of Technology Bandung Innovation of Remote Forest Monitoring System. Trees are the most important thing in the world to maintain our Earth's ecosystem. Forests and trees are even used as a symbol of the heart of the world. Air pollution can be overcome with the presence of forests. Indonesia is known as the heart of the world, always maintaining the sustainability of forests and trying to plant new trees. To support these efforts, the Bandung Institute of Technology initiated a system innovation program to detect tree vitality remotely and in real time called WATRI. The head of the WATRI team, Zahra, said that the background of the topic raised was because of the rampant tree planting without further monitoring of the status of the life of the planted trees due to difficult access caused by the monitoring system, which is still manual, namely going directly to the field. As a result, the planted trees cannot grow well. In fact, planting trees and ensuring that they remain alive is one of the efforts to restore critical forest land due to deforestation and degradation. This innovation, integrated with the Internet of Things, is in the form of GPS and is connected to a geographic information system, designed by being attached to the stem of a plant seedling and connected to a website. This tool can detect the vitality of trees without having to go to the field. That way, their trees can be tracked to be given further treatment according to their condition. If they are still alive, the trees can be given further treatment. That was Miscellany today.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Ini hidupku, bukan hidupmu. Tak perlu ku mengikuti semua langkahmu. Ini mimpiku, bukan mimpimu. Ku dengar suara hati memanggil.
Jangan memperkerjakan langkahmu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana.
Jangan memperkatakan mimpimu.
Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Caraku, bukan caramu. Cibiran kata hanyalah angin berlalu. Aku beranikan diri, dengar suara hati.
Jangan mengharapkan
langkahmu. Janganlah berhenti percaya,
Engkau pasti akan kesana. Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Aku lihat cahaya di sana. Kini aku melangkah ke sana. Tak peduli mereka.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Music Quarter present a song from Feby Putri. Feby Putri Nilam Cahyani, better known as Feby Putri, is an Indonesian solo singer from Makassar, South Sulawesi, who was born on February 5, 2000. Her single, Halu, was released in 2019 on July 26, 2024, and Feby released her latest single entitled Tangan-Tangan Ucap Perpisahan. In its production, Feby Putri collaborates with musician Iga Masardi as producer. Through this single, she tries to capture moments from steps in life. It reminds her of the moment when she had to leave home to pursue her dreams, leaving the place where she grew up. It is a personal single for Feby Putri about home, especially her mother. The song is presented to all of us who have left or being left behind. Listeners, this is Feby Putri with Tangan-Tangan Ucap Perpisahan.
Rangkaian kata menyisakan pikiran lancang dan tak karuan. Bagaimana menaklukkan tangan-tangan yang ucapkan perpisahan. Sampai jumpa di waktu lain dan di pertemuan.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Engkaulah jiwaku. penjagamu, akulah pelindungmu, akulah pendampingmu di setiap langkah-langkahmu. Pernah ku menyakiti hatimu, pernah kau melupakan janji ini. Semua karena kita ini manusia. Akulah penjagamu, akulah pelindungmu.
Listener, thank you for listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram account in VOI_official, and also send your email to voilisteners@gmail.com. Again, VOI listeners@gmail.com.